We will hear a talk on step four and five. Just give me a second. I'm going to bring that up and then we can read it. So, step four, sorry, is to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And step five, sorry, I feel like I should know this. Admitted to God, to oneself, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And now, can we please give a warm welcome to our speaker of the day? Where did you go? Oh, Marianne, there you go.
Hi, I'm Marianne, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 19th, 1996. My home group is Back Porch International, and I'm really happy to be here today. When Sonny asked me, I thought, "Oh, that sounds like a hard one to do," but I'm grateful to be here. As I said, I'll tell you a little bit about why I qualify. By the time I was about 14, I was drinking and using drugs on a daily basis. So I earned my seat by then, but I didn't know it, you know. It's funny. I told my husband this morning, I had a thought while I was reading these steps. I had a thought that I hadn't had in a long time. I remembered myself as being maybe 5 years old. Things were kind of tough around my house. They were for me. And it was kind of the, I kind of caught the results of someone's mental illness, and it kind of fell on my head most of the time, and I just wanted to be out of there. So I must have been around five, and I remember going in the backyard and getting a long stick. And I got one of my father's bandanas, and I put some stuff in the bandana. And I tied it at the end of the stick, and I put it. Now I'm sure that there was food in among that stuff. I don't remember, but I know me. And I put it over my shoulder, and I trotted off. Well, I got to the end of the block, and I couldn't go any further. I had to turn around and come back home because I wasn't allowed to cross the street. So I did that a few times and realized I was getting nowhere. Funny thing is this. I'm sitting in the living room of that house now. I've been gone and back. I haven't been here all that while. But while I was so upset at five, while I was so hopeless at five to get out of there, I'm sitting here. I'm going to be 77 soon, and I'm happy, joyous, and free. And believe it, I truly am. There was a lot of mess going on. I, as I said, I was an alcoholic by the time I was 14, but it took me till I was 49 to get here. It was a long time to be rolling around in that mud. It truly was. I did things I'm embarrassed of, I'm ashamed of. I could have done things so much better. I wasn't, and a lot of things happened to me. Some of them were my fault and some of them were not, you know. God gave me four kids to raise. I only have one left. That's something I had to learn to live with. I'm now in a wheelchair because of stupid things I did when I was drunk. You know, I fell. I snapped my neck back. I went to the hospital and all I asked for was pain meds. I never told them that I had gone numb from my neck down for a few seconds. So all of these things happened in those 35 years. I was married to an alcoholic. He died. But I was still there, and it was like somebody erased my blackboard. I could do anything I wanted to do, and I did. It was the mid-80s, and I was working in Manhattan. It's just across the bridge from where I live. Spent a lot of time working there, and it in the 80s, maybe still now, on lunchtime in Manhattan, you could find anything you want. You could do anything you want. And I did, you know. Someplace along the line, after my husband had died, I met a guy, and well, he made me look like Snow White. He truly did. I mean, he was an alcoholic crackhead, and we had a couple of years of not realizing it, but circling the drain together. You know, in the beginning, it was a lot of fun, and it turned into him trying to commit suicide and me in a recovery room, not knowing if I was going to walk again. And then I got here. And then I got here. And I was so fortunate to get here in a place and time where there are a lot of crusty old timers. You know, they didn't put up with much. They were very direct, you know. I wasn't happy about it for a bit, but then I saw that I was being helped. You know, I can remember at one time talking about those stupid signs on the wall and how trite they were. And, you know, you really think I didn't understand that kind of stuff. And one of the old timers got me after the meeting. And he said to me, you know what? There's a sign you're never going to see on any of these walls. You know what it is? Figure it out. You will never see the sign to figure it out, because from this moment on, when you commit yourself to this program, someone, people will take you by the hand and show you exactly what you need to know. You no longer have to figure anything out. You see where that got you. Just give yourself to this simple program. And I don't know why I understood, why I believed him, but I did. And that's what I did. I got a sponsor and I gave myself to this simple program. Now, step four told me that I had to do a searching and fearless moral inventory. And I didn't know how I was going to do that. You know, I really didn't. I had a sponsor who had taken me through step three and been so kind and loving to me, and but firm. And at the end of step three, she gave me a God box. And she said, you know, when you have a problem, write it down, put it in this box. Open it up in a month. You'll see that that problem's been resolved one way or another. Then she told me to start my step four. And I looked at those columns. First, I said to her, well, she asked me, did I start it yet? I said, no, not yet. She said, why? I said, I'm looking for a purple notebook. I got to do it in a purple notebook, you know? And I looked and I looked, and that worked one more time. Actually, it didn't work. I thought it did. And then she finally said to me, you will have your fourth step started by April 1st or whatever month it was. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I did that. Going through those columns, the one that really began to set me free was the one where I had to put my part. What was my part in those resentments? You know, the first thing that touched my heart was that there were some resentments that I had toward people who had hurt me as a child, and I didn't have a part in that. That made me feel so good. I could tear up now just thinking about it, you know. Wasn't responsible for everything that was wrong, but I did have resentments. And it made me go through them. You know, I think probably one of the biggest resentments I had was towards my mother. And I think that happens with a lot of people. Our parents are the first people that we interact with, you know. And for me, it started there. And I thought, you know, how am I going to do this? How am I ever going to write down all the things? My sponsor helped me. You know, she had said to me, when you hesitate, call me and we'll talk about it. Now, I didn't know. I knew she told me that I couldn't hold on to it. And we would find out how to get rid of it. But this minute, I was only to write it down. That was all my directions were. And I did, and I went through, and I had a lot of resentments that I felt were very, very valid. And I was told that I couldn't hang on to those resentments because they were cutting me off from the sunlight of the spirit. You know, I went through, I also came in at a time where the big book was what we used. You know, I was taken through the steps in the big book. when I sponsor, I do that first, and then we also go through the 12 and 12 because I think that's valuable also. But the big book was where I started and was where I found what I needed to know very concisely and with a lot of heartfelt thought. There were little nuggets in these pages. It says, where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. And I'm ready to blame everybody else for everything, you know. I'm thankful for the direction I was given. I'm thankful that I didn't have to figure this out because I couldn't have. I really couldn't have. You know, after I did all this writing, I went to my sponsor's house and we were then at step five. And I didn't feel good about it. I really didn't. She took my purple notebook and she wrote in it. You know, I didn't get it back until the end of this whole thing and she wrote in it. But what she wrote was my character defects, which I needed to know. I needed to see them in black and white. I needed to know that. And then she wrote the good things. Then she wrote the positive things. She wrote, you're kind, you're honest, you're helpful. That meant a lot to me. That truly meant a lot to me at that point. And she directed me back to the big book. And it says there, we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. And I'm reading out of the big book now on page 75. And it says, we pocketed our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we're delighted. I wasn't delighted right away. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. And we feel the nearness of our Creator. May have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. Not all of those things happened to me, and certainly not all at the same time. But they did over time. And I find that it's very interesting that that the fifth step is what starts off into action. You know, okay, so I examined my life. Now what I'm going to do about it? I'm telling somebody. I'm telling somebody that I trust every little thing about it. You know, when I started to look into this, when I knew I was going to be speaking about steps four and five, I looked in the big book and I looked a couple of places and I found a daily reflections from April 14th, which is suspiciously close to my sobriety date. And it said from the big book, page 64, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. For we've been not only mentally and physically ill, we've been spiritually sick. As I look at myself practicing the fourth step, it's easy to gloss over the wrong that I have done because I can easily see it as a question of getting even for a wrong done to me. If I continue to relive my old hurt, it is a resentment, and resentment bars the sunlight from the soul. If I continue to relive hurts and hates, I will hurt and hate myself. After years in the dark of resentments, I have found the sunlight. I must let go of my resentments. I cannot afford them, and I cannot afford them. They hurt me. They never hurt the people I resent. They hurt me. You know, there's a story in the back of the book. It may even be the last one. Let me just tell you the name of it. It's Freedom from Bondage. And it's about a woman who is drunk for many years. You know, she's gone through, and everything was somebody else's fault. And I just want to Okay. So she finally gets to AA and she gets a sponsor, and her sponsor helps her through the steps. And she said she had one resentment left that she just couldn't get rid of, and it was with her mother. And it said, "One morning, however, I realized that I had to get rid of it, for my reprieve was running out. And if I didn't get rid of it, I was going to get drunk. And I didn't want to get drunk anymore. In my prayers that morning, I asked God to point out to me some way to be free of this resentment. During the day, a friend of mine brought some magazines to take to a hospital group I was interested in. I looked through them. A banner across one featured an article by a prominent clergyman in which I caught the word resentment. He said, in effect, if you have a resentment you want to be free of, if you will pray for the person or the thing that you resent, you will be free. If you will ask in prayer for everything you want for yourself to be given to them, you will be free. Ask for their health, their prosperity, their happiness, and you will be free. Even when you don't really want it for them, and your prayers are only words, and you don't mean it, go ahead and do it anyway. Do it every day for 2 weeks, and you will find you have come to mean it and to want it for them. And you will realize that where you used to feel bitterness and resentment and hatred, you now feel compassionate, understanding, and love." And I remembered something that someone gave me a long time ago, and it was a prayer to use for this exact exercise. And I'd just like to read it to you. They called it the resentment prayer. And what it does is take little nuggets out of the fourth step in the big book, you know, those little shiny things that are so wonderful to hear. "God, please help me to be free of anger and to see that the world and its people have dominated me, showing that the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, has the power to actually kill me. Help me to master my resentments by understanding that the people who wronged me were perhaps spiritually sick. Please help me show those I resent the same tolerance, pity, and patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. Help me to see that this is a sick person. Please show me how I can be of service and helpful to them, and save me from being angry. Lord, help me to avoid retaliation or argument. I know I can't be helpful to all people, but at least show me how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. Thy will be done." And that's the prayer that I use, you know. It doesn't have to be those exact words, but that saves me every time. You know, and going back to that freedom from bondage, the last paragraph, the last two paragraphs, she says, "It worked for me then, and it's worked for me many times since. It will work for me every time I'm willing to work it. Sometimes I have to ask first for the willingness, but it too always comes. And because it works for me, it will work for all of us." Another great man said, "The only real freedom a human being can ever know is doing what you ought to do because you want to do it. The great experience that released me from the bondage of hatred and replaced it with love is really just another affirmation of the truth I know. I get everything I need in Alcoholics Anonymous, and everything I need, I get. And when I get what I need, I invariably find out that it was just what I wanted all the time." So I think that's all I have to say about this. I thank you for having me here today. I could probably talk a little longer, but I think I'm done. So thank you again.